The text of our message is found in St. Matthew 15, 1 to 19. Cleanse our hearts, not our hands. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do the disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not the hands when they eat bread." But he answered and said unto them, "Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother. And he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father and mother, It is a gift. It is a gift I promise to God, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. In not giving to the parents, they gain by saying, We give it to God. And honor not your father or his mother. He will be free. This have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And they called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard the saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Do ye not yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly, and is cast out into the draught? In modern terms, is flushed away. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. When I delivered not long ago a sermon that touches Westcott and Hort, the two Greek scholars who had changed totally our text by their corrupt text. And these two men were enemies of God. They deny all the fundamental doctrines of our Lord, including his virgin birth, his blood atonement, and his resurrection. And I compared them with the Pharisees and scribes that we just read, that always resist our Lord, that always contest with our Lord, with the traditions of men, and they think they are right. Someone who hurt me said that I did not love my enemies. I should not have criticized them. But he totally missed the point. We should love our enemies in regard to our private enemies. But we cannot love those who are public enemies. Like the Pharisees and the scribes, I said, were whiskered and hauled. And you have seen how much damnation was given them by our Lord Jesus Christ in this instance. They resist our Lord just like the scribes and Pharisees. In this connection, the scribes and Pharisees challenged Jesus. Why is it you do not correct your disciples? For they break the laws, the traditions of the elders who teach us that before we eat, we must wash our hands. For breaking this commandment of the elders, the scribes and Pharisees challenge our Lord another time. Usually they will challenge our Lord for healing on the Sabbath day. And so they got the greater condemnation. This time we went to Africa, our host, before eating, presented us a basin of warm water. And we wash our hands. That is a custom. It's all right. But we have no such custom in Singapore, and we don't wash our hands. If you don't wash your hands, that is quite all right. But if you don't wash your hands, there's nothing wrong. That is what Jesus challenged them. But they still persist. Whenever the Pharisees and the scribes challenge Jesus, Jesus will answer them back with a good retort. Because Jesus cannot stand any wicked thing, error, to call it, as it were, the truth. So Jesus answers back, and let us read from Matthew 15 again, verse 3. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother. He that curseth the father, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift. In Mark, they use a Hebrew word, korban. Korban is a gift to God. By whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. And honor not his father or his mother in supporting them, he shall be free. This have been made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, but honoreth me not with their lips. But their heart is far from me. What is the situation here? In the days of Jesus, children were also becoming disrespectful, not as in the olden days. And they were very clever in trying to escape support of their parents by saying, we have already earmarked this for God. We took an oath, going to give this to God. And so, the support of the parents is curtailed. How did they get this trick? It was from the scribes and Pharisees that if you say it's devoted to God, then you are free from support of the parents. And Jesus therefore corrected them. You have made the law, the commandment of none effect by your cunning. And so, the Pharisees, the scribes, were totally defeated. Every time they tried to trick Jesus, or to catch Jesus' words, they were overturned. Why? Because they are men, no matter how clever they are, but Jesus is God. How can man outwit God? In this respect, I would like to apply what Jesus said to the scribes and Pharisees about honoring our parents. We need also to listen to Jesus' word. For even in our day, sons are even known to have beaten their fathers. And in return, they get curses from their mother, which you often hear around. When mothers get very angry, they say, "Yells you, yells you." Maybe you don't know this. Many of us have lost our mother tongue already. And Hokkien is the most prevalent language of the Chinese races. And so, it is such a very sad thing for mothers to curse their children. Yao Xiu means cut short the life. That means you go and die. For parents to say such words when they are so angered by their unfilial treatment. But it is wonderful to have parents always pray for the children, and better still for grandparents to pray for the grandchildren. I feel it's a great blessing because I love my two grandchildren very much. And whenever I can catch one of them, I'll say, "Come, come, come for a blessing." And the number two understands very well. Whenever I say, "Come for a blessing," she'll come. And pray that she'll be a good girl because Jesus died on the cross for her sins and Jesus loves her. When you always bless, you know your children will be blessed. Well, now, according to Chinese custom or culture, it is a practice for children when they begin to earn to give some money to their father or mother. This practice is getting less and less strong. At any rate, when you give to your parents, do you give it out of a heart of love and gratitude for their doing the best for you all your life? Or do you do it willingly? Or you are not doing it at all? But let me counsel you that even when you now you are living away from your parents, even when you bring some char kway teow for them, it may be a little act, but it brightens up their lives. You know, they may be rather lonely in their old age, But it is good for children to think of their parents, because then God will bless them with long life. This is the only commandment with promise. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord giveth thee. Well, this is an aside from the main question. Jesus gave them a problem. They wanted to trick Jesus. Jesus tackled them for their not being filial to their parents. That they even tried to cut off the support and making the commandments of God of none effect. That is the accusation of the Pharisees. Now let us come back to the main point, and that is Matthew 15:17-20. If you have your Bibles, you can look at it. Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly, and is cast out into the draught? In Africa, they bore a hole 25 feet, and that is the best way to dispose of and to keep down the smell. But pass the draft here in our modern terms will be just flush away. It doesn't contaminate anyone. But this is the thing that contaminates. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. This immediately applies to every one of us, and in the sight of God, there is none of us that can escape the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. Neither the pastor. He should be the number one to answer these questions. The reason is by the doctrine of total depravity that is taught in the church, in our church, that there is no one, no, not one. Everyone is a sinner. And everyone is totally depraved. We cannot run away, including the pastor. For Paul himself said, I am the chief of sinners. Let me tell you a story about John Sung and Ting Lit Mei. John Sung was in the heyday of his preaching when China's first revivalist, Ting Lit Mei, who was a flaming evangelist, who received the name of evangelist with 1,000 souls a month. How wonderful he was in his heyday of preaching. But when John Sung came to Shantung, his hometown, and when he called for sinners to come forward to repentance, the famous evangelist in his old age was the number one to step forward to confess his sins, which surprised John Sung because he is the succeeding evangelist, that he was so humble to come to confess his sins. So must we all. There cannot be anyone here who will say, I am better than he. And surely I have been in such a high position in the church. How can I go and confess? But to be humble, God will raise us up and exalt us. Now, in regard to these sins, let me tell you of the observation of my teacher, Dr. Chia, in China. He said, sins that are of the spirit, of the mind, are 10 times worse than sins of the flesh. Therefore, the sins of the mind and of the spirit are deadly sins. And we must pray that we never fall into an unpardonable sin as the scribes and Pharisees do. Because in regard to blasphemy, Jesus cast out a devil, but they would not accept it. So they spoke against the conscience. Those that blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, their sins will not be forgiven, because they said, Jesus cast out devils, but by the prince of devils, by the name of Beelzebub. Jesus was so angry that he denounced them, that their sins will never be forgiven in this life or in the next life. They will go to hell. So these are observations of theologians, and they are very true. Let us now look at the list of sins that are mentioned. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. These evil thoughts can come from the flesh, such as from a desire for illicit sex. That's what the flesh. Or it may be out of anger against somebody and you try to take revenge. That is a sin of the spirit. Evil thoughts, murders. They think that if they don't murder a person with a knife or what, they will go off scot-free. The idea nowadays is, if I am not caught, I'm innocent. But Jesus says, if you're angry with a brother without a cause, you are liable to judgment. If you're angry with a brother so that you hate him in the heart, you are committing the sin of murder. Adulteries. Jesus said, if a man will look at a woman to lust after her, then he has already committed adultery with her in his heart. What man can escape this condemnation? And then it goes on to say, fornications. That is, indulging in illicit sex and going to a brothel even when the man is married. And today, there's a danger that he may bring home infection to his own wife. That is fornications. Thefts. Do you steal? We always want to take advantage of other people. And one day, a small pastor came and complained to me, I have been gypped, shortchanged by a big pastor for only $1.50. And how terrible it is that the reputation of the big pastor is dashed to the ground when the small pastor goes telling everybody, because he is hurt. He shortchanged me $1.50. False witness. Sometimes there are two opposing parties, and in order to do harm to the opposing party, this party may tell only half truth, not everything about the other side, in order to put the other side in a bad light. That is committing a sin against the ninth commandment. Thou shalt not bear false witness. It's very important for us when we say anything about those who oppose us to be perfectly in the truth, because it is so unfair when they cannot cross-examine you, and that is bearing false witness and blasphemies. I already mentioned how the scribes and Pharisees blasphemed about our Lord Jesus Christ. When they cast out the devil, they said, yes, he has done it by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. Jesus did not only condemn them, but Jesus reasoned, good reason. If he would cast out devils by the prince of devils, then there is much disagreement in the kingdom of the devil. Therefore, it cannot be true. So he condemned them that their sins will not be forgiven, because it was a sin against the Holy Spirit when they speak against the conscience. Now, this long list is further augmented if you turn to Mark chapter 7 with many more sins that are mentioned. For from within, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, verse 21, it says, out of the heart of man proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, new things, covetousness. If you have a desire to own more and more things, and you are not able to pay, that is covetousness. Wickedness. You know what wickedness is. And then, deceit. A Christian must be a straightforward person. There should be no double dealing. Pride. Foolishness. And another word is lasciviousness. We always read, but we don't understand what's the meaning. Lasciviousness is lustfulness. Things that will excite the emotion for lust, for sexual pleasure. Lasciviousness. Oh, how we need to keep close with the Lord, for our sinful nature is so strong that when the Ten Commandments are read, there is no one that can escape. We should pray to the Lord to keep us holy, to walk in the path of righteousness. But prayer is not enough. We must constantly read His Word. My word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. It is therefore very important for us, in order to cleanse our heart, to read the Word of God, a portion of it each day, in our private devotions, and so be cleansed by His Word. Do we do that? Do you have a Bible? You bring a Bible to church, but you put it on the shelf and bring it again the next week. Oh Lord, have mercy on us, that we might be brought closer to Him, to a life of holiness. Now, while we have cleansed our hearts, not our hands, as against the Pharisees, man's regulation. On the other hand, in Psalm 24, David says, that only he that hath clean hands and a pure heart can ascend his hill and go to his holy place. What does this mean? This applies especially to the pastor, leaders of a church, who preach the word, that they may speak out of a pure heart and administer the Lord's Supper with clean hands. One reason why elders are not permitted in our church to officiate the Lord's Supper is that pastors are set aside from the world, not having to do business in the world. So the thought here is that is safer for them. But now we come to the case of Westcott and Hort again, who hate our Lord, and whose hands are unclean because they have substituted the traditional received text by their own corrupt text, but their own hands have scissored a great portion of the Word of God from the Bible. Three very precious passages, one which refers to the Trinity, is taken out. The story of the woman taken in adultery is also taken away, but the Lord turned the table on those who accused the woman, that one by one of them, they left the scene guilty. And the Lord delivered the woman and said, go and sin no more. What a beautiful story. It's taken away by Westcott and Hort. 9,900 odd words are also taken away. In this case, we must not only have pure heart, but clean hands when we touch the sacred things of God. Let us pray. O Lord, have mercy on us and cleanse us from every unrighteousness that are mentioned in Mark and in Matthew. Help us to read thy word each day and follow all the precepts that we may be cleansed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.